Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. I've got a gripe. With all the wonderful updates for foldable screens on Android, why does it on iOS still feel like the interfaces are in 2005? All I want to do is to be able to use the desktop-level Gmail interface on my iPad in Chrome. The mobile app is fine for my iPhone screen, fine enough. But on a wider screen, it's honestly just annoying. And on Android, at least on the Pixel tablet, which I tested before the show, if I go to gmail.com in Chrome, it goes to the regular desktop interface. Not only that, it loads up instantly, very, very quick, just like on the computer. And Steve uses Android, so he has no idea what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah. It's like, okay, now when you said that the Android actually works, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, fellow iPhone fans, we were talking about this on fellow iPhone users. We were talking about this on Twitter earlier today, and it's just, oh man, you know, docs also could really use a boost. There's just so much power in the web interface, and the iPad, granted, not a computer, despite what Apple would have us think, not a full computer, but with the M1 in it, it's almost there, and it has so much power. And honestly, I'd love to be able to sit back and relax at the end of the day, go through some emails on my iPad, use my keyboard shortcuts, use the autocomplete. None of that works on the mobile app. And, you know, it's just very, very frustrating. Not my custom app shortcuts anyway. You know, a lot of my optimizations, I just can't do. And so that's my gripe. Sorry to start off on a negative note, folks. But it's just very, very frustrating to me.
Well, see, now that you have the Android, you know how great of an experience you can have if you were to move to Android.
I knew you were going to say that. And, well, yes, I do agree, and maybe that's why they haven't done it. Maybe it's a platform exclusivity choice, and they're trying to, you know, make it so that it's, you know, everybody should move over to Android and get the Pixel tablet. But honestly,
I still like my iPad better. That's not the case. I mean,
tablets have sucked for Google in the past. Like, they've not been wonderful about it. And they do, exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
They try to keep functionality as similar as possible across devices, right? And the interoperability is something that they focus on. So I don't think it's necessarily that. It's more of there's probably something with iOS that is just,
you're gonna tell me it's a software limitation now?
No, I don't know. I mean, it could be a multitude of things, but, you know.
It's possible. But at the same time, you know, I really just want to be able to get shit done. And you're right. Google is very good about having the same experience across platforms, which was great. They did that for a while. And I've read entire, you know, manifestos is the wrong word, books, really, blog posts that are book length on this topic of how hard they worked to get feature parity on the platforms. And then they stopped. And now, I mean, Android, sure. Android's got a lot of love going for it. And I just want iOS to see some of the love, feel some of the love here, because it's a little bit frustrating that I can't, you know, even like the iPad, let's face it, it's the single best tablet experience that's out there. That doesn't mean that I can't use it like a desktop app. And also, it's better than using an 11-inch Chromebook in bed, because the only good 11-inch Chromebook that's out there is the HP Tablet X1, which I actually have behind me here, which is exactly the same as, or very similar to, the Microsoft Surface line of tablets, in which it has a detachable keyboard. The detachable keyboard form factor is cool and is nice, and they've got an admittedly massive trackpad on this thing, for its size especially, but it's so thin, like I'm waving it and I'm typing, I'm clicking keys, I'm clicking the trackpad, and it just doesn't hold its shape when I'm laying back on the couch or I'm laying in bed, even with the kickstand. So it's just not that great of an experience compared to the, you know, larger magnetic kickstand that I have on my iPad. And I'm a little bit like, sorry, I'm getting confused here, because my Google Chrome browser on my desktop here decided now was a very good time to sign me out, and I had to sign in again in order to see the show notes. So Steve's going to talk for a minute about his wonderful day in Chicago while I'm going to use my passkey on my phone here. Actually, the passkey is on my Mac as well, so I'm going to log back.
I've had some like little nuances with the whole passkey situation. I don't know how well that's working for me. I have it on my one device, but then on all my other devices where I don't have it, it's always defaulting to passkeys, so it's taking me longer to sign in now. Yep. And it's just like, yep, it's meant it's like, to be faster, but if you don't have passkey on all your devices, then it's a little bit slower on all the other devices now, because before it was like auto prompting me for the security key, which was very, very quick. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, you know, you have to have passkey on all your devices to make it faster. And even then, even on the Mac, it's still like, you still have to do like two clicks to get to actually accept the fingerprint.
I hated that.
It's right. It's just, I figured it would just like pop up like, oh, just do the passkey. But no, it's like two clicks.
Right.
And then fingerprint. So yeah, I don't know. It's not.
Yeah. So I'm using the MacBook Pro and
I liked it.
I've got the fingerprint over here. But to your point, I just went to use it now, and I actually have in Riverside, which is what we record in, shout out to them if they want to sponsor us. Yes, please. The window can pop out. So I've got the video of Steve popped out directly behind my camera, mm-hmm. which is actually in front of my monitor, as I have explained before. The passkey dialogue that asked me if I wanted to use the passkey was behind the window. So it's like clicking, like, why isn't it working? Like, can't I log in? And then I was like, oh, done. I moved you. The window has to be not even active. It was hiding behind you. So it didn't, it wasn't, you know, in the center of the screen. It wasn't over anything else. It was the center top of the window that it was on, because it, you know, drops down like it's attached to the top of that window. But it didn't, like, you know, highlight it. It didn't make it jump forward. And also, it's extra steps. Like, I hit the passkey button. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Open up the freaking passkey dialog. Let me just mash my fingerprint over on the fingerprint sensor right next to me and be done with it. Like, this is supposed to be faster than passwords, to your point. So, passwords and or, you know, other forms of authentication and so on. Yeah. And it is when it works and you're logged in on all your devices and you don't have a window blocking the pop-up window for authentication. So we're getting there. It is still in beta. So, you know, give them time. We have to be patient with betas. We love you, Google. Please continue giving us wonderful things and letting us test them early.
Well, honestly, I think that I don't know if that's going to be... I don't think it'll change. I think that could just be a limitation of like how it has to prompt you, and like you have to accept those things to happen.
I feel
like that's maybe part of the security functionality of it. I don't know.
All right. Now you've challenged me. We have to get a Google Passkey employee expert on the show so that we can talk about these and dig in, because Passkey is the future of passwords.
Did we have him on before, Christian?
I was wondering, did we? Or was it just somebody who was talking about? Was that just Alex?
Oh, maybe. Well, like, we don't.
I mean,
want to
he
talk
may
to
be an expert.
If Christian's still there, Christian's the one to talk to.
Okay. We'll have to do some behind the scenes digging, folks. Maybe do some hunting at Google Next. Yep, exactly. Hunt him down, tie him to a chair, and see if we can get some answers over here about what's happening and how this is going to work.
Yeah, we got to start doing some reach out for that, actually, to get a hold of people and see if we can schedule some interviews.
Yep. And for our show, I did switch out the Rode Streamer X that I just bought with the Duocaster. So I'll be able to record, we'll be able to record mano a mano in our, in my hotel room, I suppose. One of our, you know,
in case
we
need more, I've got my PodTrack P4, which gives us four XLR inputs, just in case we need more than two.
You need a whole suitcase just for that.
Well, no, it's tiny. It's handheld. Like, look, it's really tiny. Look at that. That's how big it is.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. I have an old Zoom one around somewhere. I got to look for that thing. I think that only had two inputs, though. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's the Zoom. The Zoom PodTrack P4.
Oh, no, I had the Zoom. What the hell was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, I know which one you have. I know which one you have. Yeah.
Yeah, we started on that like way back in the day.
It's also like a recorder. It's a recorder too.
It's like the cross.
Exactly,
the cross microphones. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get through these updates.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have a show? We're just going to schmooze.
We do. That's what we like to do. All right, so decent number of a few, you know, five updates during the week, two silent releases, some Meet hardware updates here with version 108 coming out, and then a few things in the news as well. So first two silent releases we had is there's the introduction of the alt text option in the image options sidebar of Google Docs, Sheets, Slides, and Drawings. There's a little reminder here also about delegators must reapprove contact delegates by August this year. And then in terms of updates that we have this week, first one is the ability to create spaces, memberships, group chats, and more. using Google Chat API, which is now generally available. Next one is that AppSheet core licenses will be included by default for more workspace additions, along with a new admin security setting. So that is great to see. I mean, I think AppSheet should really have been available to everyone from the beginning to like really get, you know, adoption off the ground, because otherwise it's pretty limited. Next one is the improvement of meeting room suggestions in Google Calendar. Next to last here, we have the introduction of membership, introducing membership search and the option to add up to 50,000 members to spaces in Google Chat. So this will, of course, help with those of you moving from Currents over to Chat and Spaces there. So that'll help with that. And then finally, programmatically read and write working locations for a portion of the day with the Google Calendar API. So yeah, a lot of increases in existing features already that are already there and APIs that are being created. So, you know, some interesting little improvements to the product this week. And then with the Meet hardware, as I said, Chrome OS version M108 is on its way out, started a couple days ago on the 20th of July. So we'll talk about some of the different updates and features that came out with that. And then in the other news, we do have four articles we'll talk about. First one being Microsoft is closes at record high after revealing pricing for Copilot. Google is also experimenting with AI-generated backgrounds on Google Meet. Google Assistant is finally going to get a bit of a generative AI, as Chrome, the Chrome Unbox team there will talk about that. And then finally, a kind of YouTube video here, how to maximize your productivity with Smart Canvas and Google Docs.
YouTube video. Actually, take another look there.
Interesting. Well, it says
coming
YouTube
up live event July 26th. Oh,
that would say it's July 26th, right? So it's up and coming.
Yeah, so event. That's probably in a day or so from when you're going to be hearing this, depending on when I. No, I should be able to get this out tomorrow morning. So,
cool. All right.
And then I wanted to jump in here, and I forgot to mention it when I was talking about the Rode switcheroo. Mm-hmm. That device is actually more expensive. So once again, we owe a tremendous thank you to our friends over at Jamf for their support in bringing you these weekly updates. Now, if you're someone who uses Apple devices alongside Google Workspace, you're going to want to hear about Jamf. They're experts at making sure your Apple devices seamlessly integrate into your Google IT ecosystem. Jamf understands that different organizations have unique needs, so they offer tailored device management and endpoint security solutions for everyone who is using Google products and tools at work. You've probably already heard of them. We've definitely spoken about them many times before, but just in case, head on over to jamf.com, jamf.com/workspace recap. We got our own special landing page, so thank you for that. And discover how they can take your Apple Google game to the next level. And we may be doing something together at Google Next, so don't tell anybody. Tell everybody. And come to Google Next and say hello.
Yeah, there's another cool announcement with Jamf that came out that week. I don't know if you probably aren't too familiar with it because you're not UK-based, but they acquired Datajar, which is
a big innovator
out in UK. So yeah, that's the team that did the rollout for my Jamf integration back when I was at Get.
Nice.
Ben Toms, who had Ben did his very first deployment with us. After he got approved to be like, you know, do the jump starts, and you know, that team there got acquired by Jamf. So they've built a lot of cool tools, and they've done a lot of work with Jamf over the years. And you know, I mean it's good, and also it's just like, well, you know, there's such a great third party integrator that's out there now. They're becoming part of Jamf, and like acquisitions are always tricky, and you know, I don't know that. It's good, bad, I guess, in some cases, right? So
almost no acquisition is a perfect alignment,
right?
Not for everybody, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into those updates. So the first one we saw in the end of week recap post is that ability to include or to like kind of be able to manipulate, add, and manage that alternate text option in images there in the sidebar with Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides. So you'll be able to now right-click an image and select that alt text section and be able to add a little bit more context there with the image options sidebar. So check that out if you like adding alternative text and making it a little bit easier for people to understand what that image is. And then finally, a little reminder here about having to delegate your contacts or like reapprove contacts by August. For those of you that are allowing others to access your contacts, so that will kind of pop up, and you know it should show you a little prompt there to re-authenticate that, and that will need to be completed by the end of July, or the delegates will lose access to manage your contacts. So admins can also make some adjustments there for users in their domain using the admin SDK API to remove or re-add the contact delegate privilege. So those of you that are using GAM, I'm sure that will be available to you there. Next, in terms of updates we have, the first major one is the ability to create spaces, memberships, group chats, and more using the Google Chat API. That is now generally available. So this was previously available in kind of an alpha beta kind of format. And now in GA, this is going to give you the ability to do a lot of stuff with spaces, with memberships, with messages, with reactions, with attachments. So a lot of different capabilities here are now available through that API. And you know, if you're doing a lot of work with chat, this is going to make it easier to, you know, create and build things, and you know, make that more of a integrated experience with other applications and tools that you have. So there are some details here about what that looks like, and you know, for those of you that are looking at building something, check out the API control documentation on the developer blog, I think, and start working with these Google Chat APIs to kind of make that a little bit more a integrated experience with those other tools you're using. So that is available now for those in terms of rollout pace, and it's also available to all Workspace customers.
I feel like this one goes hand in hand with the membership. What do you call it? Limit. The 50,000 member increase limit.
Yeah. Yes.
A good time to launch one with the other here.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Next, we talked about AppSheet core licenses being available for more of the Workspace tiers by default. So that will now be included in the following Workspace editions. It'll be in Business Starter, Standard, and Plus, Enterprise Starter and Standard, Frontline Starter and Standard, Nonprofits, and Education Standard. So, you know, really pretty much everyone is able to access this now at a kind of, well, core level, as the product is called, AppSheet Core, right? So that is rolling out pretty soon here. There's some additional info about admins being able to apply those kind of turn on AppSheet Core functionality and security there for your users. That then is also the rollout pace here. And scrolling down to that, it will start going on the 25th, so tomorrow for us right now. And that will be going to both rep release and schedule release domains on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days for visibility on that. So AppSheet Core licenses are going to be, they're already included with those domain verified Google Workspace editions, and be included with other domain verified Google Workspace editions with the ones we kind of mentioned there. So I think that the main difference there, domain verified, right? So if you have, I'm trying to think, like Workspace Essentials, I think there's a way to create those accounts without actually, you know, adding a DNS record, like a CNAME record, right? So This is kind of what they're saying, is that, you know, domain verified is really where it's rolling out to. So I think for most of our listeners, it's going to be domain verified environments. Not many are going to be non-domain verified environments.
Yeah.
And there's some restrictions there on the education tier, so be designated as under the age of 18 and restricted from the app sheets, and then with in the Google Workspace for Education account, so it'll be kind of limited there. So you'll not have that rolling out to the under 18s, it sounds like. So,
yep. There you go. One note is if you are paying for the core licenses, they have to be canceled manually. You will receive a notification via email in the coming weeks with more information and next steps. But if you're paying for them, core licenses, you gotta cancel them manually. I love how they have in here for partners. Use the Partner Advantage portal to learn more about how your customers can leverage AppSheet.
Yeah, definitely pushing that on the partner side for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next. Some improvements here with meeting room suggestions in Google Calendar. So there was previously two different room suggestion types based on a company's calendar settings. So the first option kind of listed the frequently used rooms for you to pick from, and the second one used as kind of a structured meeting room feature to suggest from rooms based on the meeting attendees. So this... So now, to better kind of optimize meeting rooms and foster greater collaboration, you know, especially as these hybrid work environments, they're going to combine those two options in an updated structured meeting room setting. So the working location set by the user is going to be taken into account for all room suggestions. And in those cases where the location data is unavailable, some proposed meeting rooms will be based on the frequently used rooms there. And we have a little bit of an example of what that looks like in the room suggestions. Get an idea of what that will now look like. This will kind of take into account the kind of the main office building that's set by the admin or the end user, be like, you know, looking at working locations set by the user, and also some of the responses that a user has to certain events. So this will be rolling out to rep release domains on starting the 17th of July, on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. And then starting on the 31st of July for scheduled release domains, also on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. And this one is available to most tiers, not all, but most of them, Business Standard Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, Education Plus, and the nonprofits. And then, as you said, a nice little compliment to the previous update with the APIs around chat is that the ability to add up to 50,000 members to spaces in a Google Chat. So the as we said, Currents was a platform where there were a lot of members to those communities, and being able to add that many people over to a chat space really wasn't possible. So now that limit is going up here to 50,000, which is up from 8,000, which is what it previously was. So this will help a lot, of course, with company-wide announcements, but also with communities that are maybe a little bit more public-facing that had a large following. I know the education teams had a very popular community over in Currents, so hopefully that will get most of those members able to move over there. I know it's really not quite as many as I saw in some of them. I think there are over 100,000 in some of those communities, but getting closer and closer, definitely a big step for up from 8,000 to 50,000. Yeah, so pretty big jump. So I'm sure there's a lot of design and scalability things that had happened there to be able to support that. So they'll also be able to introduce the ability to easily search for members within a space. And if they're present, you'll be able to change the role. If the member's not present, you'll also be able to add the member to that space. And the large spaces rollout is going to be starting on the 18th of July for both rapid release and scheduled release domains on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. The member search on the web is going to have a little bit of a staggered rollout here. That is starting the 20th of July for rep release domains, the 3rd of August for scheduled release domains, and both those are gradual rollouts up to 15 days for visibility. And then mobile search, or member search for mobile devices, a little bit different rollout pace there, a little bit later, starting on the 7th of August for Android, and then on the 28th for iOS. And then again, both of those on a gradual 15 days for visibility rollout there. And it's going to be available to all Workspace customers. And then finally, we have the ability to programmatically read and write working locations for a portion of the day with the Google Calendar API. So this will give you the ability to programmatically read and write working locations for specific portions of the day. And it kind of expands upon what that was previously available to you with being able to read and write some other, you know, functionality there with the calendar locations. This one is rolling out. Looks like it's really rolled out already. Rollout pace for that one is just available now. And those of you that are going to be able to use it is going to be, you know, those that have API access. But it then, of course, ties into the location functionality with Calendar. So those on Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, Education Plus, Education Standard, and the Teaching and Learning Upgrade, along with those nonprofit customers as well. So that wraps up the main updates there. We do have another update with the Meet hardware that did start on the 20th of July, rolling out with the version 108 update. And, you know, some firmware updates here with Logitech equipment, Logitech Rally Bar, Scribe, Tab, HDMI firmware, all
Tap.
Logitech Tap, sorry, Tap, yeah, Tap. All getting some firmware updates along with the Avocor Series 1 Board 65 and the Lenovo camera firmware getting some updates. So, you know, just a lot of fixes to issues that were happening with displays and some presentation issues with the HDMI cable and the Tap devices. So, you know, overall just kind of stability improvements and some security updates as well as some specific features that they've made better there. So that is what we have for you on the updates. And then we've got a
few
more
things
in the news. Yes, I am pretty sure that I have one at 1871 that I bought. Yes.
I got to get my hands on one. Yeah. I just today, as you saw in our pre-meeting call earlier, I installed a Logitech Rally. It's not the Rally Bar, it's just the Rally Room or something like that. And
firmware.
Yeah, apparently. Well, honestly, it's been sitting in a box for about 2 years, so there's probably several firmware updates that need to happen for this thing. But I just set it up today in the conference room because enough people have returned to the office. I cringe to say it, that we're starting to use the conference room again. So that's over at one of my big clients here, and so I'm setting it up for them. And it's I think that the Tap would really be a good addition to that workflow there. But pretty cool gear there. And honestly, I haven't had a chance to really play with it much, so I like the idea of having a centralized, bookable, managed solution there for that's like just stupid simple, which is what the Tap seems like it is. So anyway,
I forgot I was muted there, but yes,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I've used it. Yeah, I think I've used it probably a while ago.
Yeah, it's been out for a little while.
It's nice.
My biggest problem over there is that the conference room has a massive glass table. It's a 16-foot-long glass table, and the walls of the conference room are also glass, and it has a vaulted ceiling. So echoes are awful, as you probably heard when we were in there earlier, until I put in my AirPods.
Yes. I did hear that.
So going to have to figure that out.
Cool. Yeah, I think sometimes in those rooms, having like more specific microphones and directional microphones can be really helpful in getting the sound a lot better, but not cheap to do all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. A few news updates here. Microsoft, first one on the list, actually.
Yeah, I know. We're saying the dreaded letter M company name here repeatedly. It's breaking the rules or some ethical something or other. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, that company, their shares jumped quite a bit, and they've been on a tear this year with the whole AI thing and open AI, etc. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to the rock that you've been living under this entire time. Essentially, they announced that they are getting ready to roll out and announce pricing for Copilot, which is their version of Duet, which is AI in the Office suite. And given that this is an MSNBC, sorry, a CNBC article, aren't they the same? I don't know. CNBC article. It is highlighted here that it will cost an additional $30 per month and could increase monthly prices for enterprise customers as much as 83%. Well, and as a customer, I'm going, ouch. Yeah. No thanks.
I mean, that's what Google's charging, right? It's the same thing, right? $30 a month.
Same. So. Yeah. Definitely not rolling this out to everybody for an 83% increase in spend. Thank you very much. No, just oof, good lord, absolutely not. There will probably be 10, maybe 15 people per client that I can think of here that will be eligible for this kind of a thing, and even that is probably going to be monitored, like give weekly reports on if you're using it or not or something. I don't know, it's a little bit, I mean, it's awesome to play around and test with at this point, but we got to see how awesome it's going to be and how much time it's actually going to save people before this gets any kind of mass adoption. But anyway, I thought it was an interesting counterpiece to put in here, and given the pricing that we heard from our sources for Google and what's coming with Duet down the pipeline, and we'll see what's going on the other side of the aisle. So stay tuned for more on all of that. All right, next, speaking of Duet and AI things, Google Meet, or Google, is apparently experimenting for Google Meet or in Google Meet with AI-generated backgrounds, which sounds really cool. Kind of curious what kind of, you know, obviously they've got a lot of fail-safes and gates in place to make sure that people don't go too inappropriate or crazy with these things, I imagine. But essentially, this new test will let people type in a prompt to generate a background for the call that you're on. So you can say you can ask Google Meet to create an illustration of a magical forest, and then you are in the magical forest. And I wonder if this will eventually work, and by eventually I mean relatively soon, with little video animations as well, because you can do, they've got some very nice looping video animations as backgrounds on Meet currently, but I'm curious if you'll be able to generate those just to extend the idea of an illustration of a magical forest, perhaps a actual illusion of a magical forest animated with little fairies and butterflies and things flying around. Sorry, I've been playing a little bit too much Zelda Breath of the Wild lately, so I got that kind of, you know, my wife and I just got a Switch, so that was the first game that we took on, and we're about halfway through, and so I've got that kind of, you know, in the forefront of my mind, so that's kind of where I went with that.
Yep.
Not the new one, not the new Zelda, the previous version. We figured we'll try with that one, and then we'll go, if we like it, we'll get the new one, so... But this is rolling out as part of Google Workspace Labs. So if you do have access to that, then you're going to be able to play with this. And shortly thereafter, I imagine a bunch of you will also be able to get access to it. More interesting AI insertions in different things here. And it's only going to continue. So stay tuned and buckle up. Continuing on the generative AI train here is, thank God, and hopefully it will continue, Google Assistant is getting a bit of generative AI here. This is a Chrome Unboxed article. I mean, we've been begging and pleading for months and weeks and God knows how long here.
That's what we've been saying, right?
To get something, yes, to get something in Assistant that is generative AI. Just rip out the entire core experience and replace it with Bard or Duet or whatever you're going to call it. For consumers and for professionals, and I don't know. Anyway, what they're doing here is a rather interesting change in how this works and how the web as a whole could be consumed, is a summarize feature where you can ask the Google Assistant to summarize the website that you are currently viewing. And it'll basically give you cliff notes of what you're reading, and you know, you can just read a much shorter version. So, could be a interesting way to faster consume content, especially if you don't really care about every single minute little detail that's in the article. I do think this is going to be very interesting for, well, Google's bread and butter, display advertising. If the AI is summarizing for it, when does it say pause for Google inserted ad break through all of this? Because as we know, this, you know, inserted ads, display ads, video ads, that's what makes Google almost all of their money, like an overwhelming majority of it. So something to really think about here as this starts to roll out. Steve, you have something to say on this?
No, I'm just observing and listening and like, yeah, that's where things are evolving to, right? Like, where is the next ad going to be coming from, and how is it going to be, inserted into that kind of feed of information that people are going to be asking for, right?
Well, ads are where it's at. Actually, I don't know if you've heard about the little tangent here. Feel free to hit the fast forward 10 seconds a few times if you're not interested in this. The Sphere, the MGM Sphere in Las Vegas. Have you heard about this thing?
No.
It is
No,
a
I haven't.
multi-billion-dollar venue where the entire outside, it's a sphere, and the entire outside of it is covered in LCD panels, millions
Oh, I
and
think I've seen
millions
it.
of these
I didn't realize
panels,
that's
and
how it
it
was
is,
like. Okay.
it's bright as hell when it's nighttime and you're in Vegas. This thing is like, you can see it from down the strip, you can see it from
Wow.
multiple blocks away, and I mean, you can certainly see it from the air, and they've done tons of imagery on it, you know, the Earth, and then they did a big eyeball, and they did a lot of 4th of July stuff because they launched it officially on 4th of July, so fireworks and all kinds of different 3D things that you can do because it's actually a sphere. It looks absolutely mind-bogglingly amazing. It's super cool. A lot of people think it's super waste of money and things, but it's also a concert venue. Like, this is just another, it's another building, right? It's something that you build. It's a gimmick. But I saw an article this week, speaking of advertising, that said that they are going to be starting at some point, I don't remember exactly when, to show advertising 50% of the time. They will be having ads on that, and I'm just. I mean, I'm sure the creative team will be involved in making custom ads for this, so I'm really curious to see what kind of ads are going to show up on there. On the other hand, it's Vegas, so who knows what's going to show up on there in terms of ads, but 50% of the time, then again, somebody had to pay for that multi-billion dollar building, so there you go. Makes sense. But anyway, speaking of advertising and where that money is going to come from, I thought that was an interesting tangent. Also, super cool sphere thingy. All right, last but certainly not least is an event. Drop what you're doing and listen to it now if you listen to our show quickly, because it looks, or sign up for it now. If you listen to our show as soon as it comes out, if not, it already aired and you can definitely see the recording at this link. But it is How to Maximize Your Productivity with Smart Canvas and Google Docs. It is July 26th at 12 p.m. SGT.
Yes, it is a Japan Asia Pacific region time, so keep that in mind.
Got
But
it.
again, recorded,
So,
so
yeah. It was originally hosted for the North American region. So, if you want to see the one that was for the North American region, you can probably actually find it on the Google Workspace YouTube channel here. But I saw this
looks good.
thought it would be an interesting event. So, we may have already talked about the previous one. Sometimes we miss these, sometimes we see them,
Don't know if we did
sometimes we
though,
don't.
but
I don't know. So, whether we did or not, either
live
listen to
Q&A
the
though, that's
recording
the main
or.
thing. Live Q&A, if you can attend it and ask some questions, that's the main benefit of attending that
Yeah,
live.
that's what I was
So,
getting to.
yep.
Yeah, it's amazing being able to do that. I love that that's an option. Short of going to Google Next, that's the closest you're going to get to actually getting real answers for things.
Right.
So, all right, once again, thank you to our friends over at Jamf for sponsoring this episode. That's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter, which is now called X, apparently, for those who have not been paying attention to the news since
What?
the last
Come
20
on.
some odd hours. It is,
That would
yeah,
be
it's
me.
officially X. That would be you, I have figured, and many, many others in the audience who
And oh
either
yeah, there
don't
it is,
give
X
a,
down
you know,
there.
anything or whatnot. It's X. X.com actually goes to Twitter.
Wait,
nobody
wait.
Knows what we're going to be calling tweets anymore. They're X's or
what is it? What was PayPal's original name? Wasn't that something like that?
It was X. It was X.
It was,
yeah.
Right?
So it wasn't PayPal's original name. PayPal and X merged, but Elon's original company
it
was
the,
X.
The URL was X.com.
Yeah, SpaceX,
right, for...
and yeah, that's where it originally came from. Yep, 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 yep. So.
Okay.
Good times, fun times. See you on Threads. I'm on Threads. If you wanna, comment over there, and
yeah.
Oh well, you missed your mark. I am number 28,000 something, and now
28,000.
Like, yeah, I was in within 2 minutes of it launching, and
holy
they're up to
cow.
Like
millions
tens
now.
Of millions now. So if not yeah. 100 million, they're over 100 million actually. So,
oh, wow.
You know, you missed your chance at getting a cool yeah. number in the beginning.
ICQ number
I
was like 49
like
million
ready to go,
for ICQ.
So.
It was like 499712246 for ICQ. So.
I don't think it matters as much as ICQ used to matter back in the day. So,
yeah,
as far as knowing,
I still remember my ICQ number. So,
of course, I do not remember mine. No, I was never a big ICQ user. I was more AOL Instant Messenger. I'm a little bit younger than you.
Yeah.
Just. To, yeah. Here. So, all right, this is officially the longest outro we've ever had. So, if you'd enjoyed it, let us know. Drop a comment down below over on the YouTube side. Say hello. We always love hearing from everybody. Give us a thumbs up, etc. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.